Scripture reading for Brother Randy's lesson tonight is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. That's Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Good evening. God has seen fit to give us another glorious day, and I hope you have enjoyed the beauty of this day. Appreciate you coming back this evening. I've titled the lesson tonight, Forgive as the Lord Forgave. This evening I want to speak to you on the subject of forgiveness. Now, we're not talking about the superficial kind of forgiveness over some trivial or insignificant act. We're at a ball game and someone accidentally bumps into us and we spill our soft drink and they turn and say, I'm sorry, and we say, that's okay, forget about it. Not talking about that kind of forgiveness. I'm talking about forgiving someone for having made a serious mistake in their life, whether it was against us or someone else. The kind of forgiveness that is spoken of so often throughout the scriptures. To begin our lesson on forgiveness, let's define the word. Forgiveness is to pardon, absolve, acquit, excuse, cancel, release, clear, or free an individual for whatever wrong or wrongs, whatever sins or sins he or she has committed, provided he or she has repented of those wrongs or sins. To the saints at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you," Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Granting such forgiveness for the Christian is not an option. And forgiveness knows no limit to its frequency. In the book of Matthew, we read of the occasion when the Apostle Peter came to Jesus and asked the question, "How often shall I forgive my brother's sin against me?" And he said to Jesus, "Till seven times?" And Jesus answered Peter, saying, "I say not until seven times, but until 70 times 7, Matthew 18, 21 and 22. There is no limit to the number of times a Christian is to forgive his brother. If you would this evening, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. I'd like you to keep your Bibles kind of handy tonight because there's several passages I want to share with you. But if you would, look at chapter 18 and a parable that is shared starting with verse 23, because following that response by Jesus to Peter's question, Jesus begins a parable. And I would like us to consider this parable as we think upon our duty, our obligation as Christians to forgive one another. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, a talent was a measure of weight and always applied to something of value. If Matthew was referring to gold as its base, it has been estimated that that debt of 10,000 talents of gold would be worth about $3 billion in today's money. If the basis were silver, the debt in today's dollars would have been in the millions. The man's debt, even back then, clearly was substantial. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosened him, and forgave him the debt. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, 100 pence would have equaled about $16. 16 cents was a pence, and so 100 pence would have come to about $16, considerably less than what the man owed to the Lord. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. For God to forgive us our sins, our trespasses, our transgressions, we must forgive the sins, the trespasses, the transgressions of our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we seek to bring others to Christ, we must never shy away from a lost soul because of his or her past. As Christians, it is well that we should remember what we once were. To the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul wrote in chapter 6 and verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now listen to what Paul writes next. "And such were some of you." Some of you who are now saints, my brothers and sisters in Christ, some of you have been engaged in such sins. Of those sins which I just spoke, some of you have been ensnared. Some of you have been entangled. But now Paul goes on to say, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, set apart, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Friends, everyone has a past. I have sinned and you have sinned. We all have sinned. How do I know that, you say? Because God's holy word says so. Romans 3, 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Brethren, we have all sinned and we all need forgiveness. We need to be prepared, ready with a willing heart to forgive. Recall, if you will, the account in 1 Corinthians in chapter 5, whereby Paul was speaking of a man within the body of Christ at Corinth who had been engaged in immorality with his father's wife. Paul said that they were to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul went on to say in verse 9 of chapter 5 that they were to put away from among yourselves that wicked person. In 2 Corinthians, we learn that that man whom Paul had admonished them to put away or to withdraw fellowship had repented of his sin. Paul writes regarding that repentance, "Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." 2 Corinthians 2, verse 8 through 10. As Christians, our obligation when it comes to sin and forgiveness goes much further, especially when our brothers and sisters are concerned. Open your Bibles with me again to Galatians chapter 6, and begin reading with me at verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in doing and well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Throughout the New Testament, we read accounts of Christ's compassion, of his forgiveness. Turn with me to the book of John and chapter 8, starting with verse 1. John chapter 8 and verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Undoubtedly, the account of the crucifixion of Christ gives us the greatest example of forgiveness. When nearing death, Christ raises his voice to God and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23 and verse 34. Imagine, if you will, here suspended on the cross between heaven and earth, having been scourged, the flesh torn from his back, a crown of thorns, not gently laid on his head, but forced down upon his brow. Crude nails driven through his hands and his feet. Every breath, a painful struggle for Christ. And Christ asks his heavenly Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. Pray don't find fault with the man who limps or stumbles along the road. Unless you have worn the shoes he wears or struggled beneath his load. There may be sins as tacks within his shoes, though hidden away from view, or the burden he bears placed upon your back might cause you to stumble too. Don't sneer at the man who is down today unless you have felt the blow that caused his fall or felt the shame that only the fallen know. You may be strong, but still the blows that were his, if dealt to you in the self same way at the self same time, might cause you to stagger too. Don't be too harsh with the man who sins, or pelt him with words or stones, unless you are sure, yea, doubly sure, that you have not sins of your own. For you know, perhaps if the tempter's voice should whisper as soft to you as it did to him when he went astray, might have caused you to falter too. Friends, aren't we glad that we have a Savior who loved us so much that he endured the pain and the suffering of Calvary's cross, that as Christians our sins have been forgiven, our sins have been washed away. With Christ as our perfect example, we should always stand ready to forgive those who have sinned and fallen short when they have repented of those sins. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Let me close this evening with a simple question. Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you put on the name Christian? If not, why not? Why linger any longer to confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God? Why not come repenting of those sins in your life and be buried in the waters of baptism at this very hour, coming up out of those waters a new creature? The clothes are prepared. There is water in the baptistry. And we would love to rejoice with you just as we rejoiced last week when our brother Paul obeyed the gospel. If you're outside the body of Christ and you've reached the age of accountability, we urge you not to delay. We're not promised yet another hour. The scriptures warn that our life is as a vapor that quickly vanishes. Perhaps you're here this evening and you once obeyed the gospel, but the tempter has come your way, has ensnared you, has entangled you in sin, and you've wandered back into the world. We pray that tonight you will come forward, repenting of those wrongs, be restored to the household of faith. Won't you come while together we stand and while we sing the song of encouragement?